Psalms 104 this evening, and we'll try to do what we feel the Lord have. Doris, I try not to look at it as problems, it's just opportunities. Opportunities to trust the Lord, amen? And as far as I know, it was working when we left. But you know, even if not, we've got a little ceramic heater that'll heat our bedroom. And it ain't going to be that cold tonight, I guess. But I told her, I said, sometimes we get all upset about stuff tore up, but it's going to be okay. Amen. We've got a real good God. He takes care of his children. Amen. So I told her, I said, he said, I'm sorry. I said, brothers, this stuff happens. We're no different than everybody else. Amen. Sometimes I think we act like we think we are, but we're really not. Amen. I thank God for his goodness in our lives. Thank you for this opportunity, preacher. Thank you for letting me come. And do pray for us. We've got a lot of things going on. I had a chaplain, Curse, called me, messaged me this afternoon about some things we're wanting to do there again, trying to do more in the prisons as we're able. So he's wanting me to come down there. Whatever Sunday it was I had open. The next Sunday I had open about 5 weeks from now, I think, but something like that. And preach on the pencil message, preacher. He said, these guys haven't heard it. These guys have asked me. Some of them said, preacher, you going to preach on that? I'm fixing to get out. I've heard about it, but I had never heard you preach on it. So he's wanting me to come down there.
Yeah, before. I never heard you preach the sermon. I just heard all the guys in the fellowship urge
you. It's different. I guess my mind works different, but I'm glad God uses us as we are, amen? But look in Psalms chapter 104 this evening. I believe this is where God would have us tonight. And if you can and will, if you stand, I'm just going to read two verses again, just kind of jump right in the middle of the verse here, of the text here tonight. Begin reading verse number 16. In Psalms 104, verse 16, the Bible said, the trees of the Lord are full of sap. The cedars of Lebanon, which he hath planted, where the birds make their nest. As for the stork, the fir trees are her house. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you again for the privilege. It's ours to be here. Lord, you've been so good to us. We want to thank you this evening. Lord, thank you for a good crowd in your house again this evening. Could have been many places, but they're here and they're faithful. And we're thankful for that privilege, Lord, to preach to them tonight. God, may you help us. May you help the leadership of this church, Lord, to continue to shine a bright light on the side of this highway. God, I pray you'd help us tonight. I need you. We need you. Pray you'd bless, Lord, the hearing, the receiving. Help the preaching this evening. God, we need your touch. We need your help. Lord, I pray for all those that are sick and the different things Pastor mentioned. Lord, we're just needy people tonight. God, have your will and way in our hearts and our lives, and we'll thank you and we'll praise you for what you accomplish and do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Psalms 104, I was looking again this afternoon a little while, and till the man come to work on my furnace, amen, then I watched him. Somebody's talking about if you watch, I don't guess he charged me no extra. Amen. We paid him in eggs. Hallelujah. He likes eggs. Psalms 104 praises God for his fullness as a creator. You know, isn't it a blessing that God give us all these things that we can enjoy in the life that we have? And I mean, the beauties and the wonders. We've traveled different places, and we were in Grenada. There's several beautiful waterfalls in Grenada. There's one I don't know that we'll get to see again. When we lived there, I could walk up to it, hike up to it, but now I don't know that I can make that journey. And as we go across the U.S., there's places. This psalm talks about the greatness of our Creator and the goodness of God in our creation. It talks about in Psalms 105, his faithfulness as a redeemer. And if you've been saved, we can say amen. God is faithful to you and I for 51 years. Since God redeemed me, and I'm grateful for that. And then if we would look at Psalms 106, then he talks about his forgiveness as a savior for his people. And again, we could talk about how good God is. And the guys in prison always would say, preacher, he just keeps on loving me. When I mess up, when I do wrong, and when I wind up back in here sometimes in 24 years of prison, we've saw guys come back 3 and 4 different times. And they say, preacher, but God just still loves me. And that love gets a hold of their heart. Amen. That's our prayer. That's our desire, is that God would reach them. And if we were to look at this psalm tonight, we could see in verses 1 through 9, it's a place of greatness. It talking about our world, talking about our the place where we live. Not just the greatness of man, we can't claim, but the greatness of God. Some builders, and I was a builder most of my life, but that built the Empire State Building and all these different things, but then go out there and look at the Rocky Mountains. Or look at some of the big waterfalls that we've had the privilege of going to. And that's all God's handiwork. God spoke that into existence. It didn't take years to build it. It took 1 week to make it all. Amen. Then in verses 10 through 30, it talks about it's a place of goodness. He provides life, water, and food. Even though it's already been mentioned, there's some countries, and I've been where your pastors talked about and spent weeks there and saw folks struggle. We lived in Grenada in the northern end. It's changed a little bit now in 25 years, but our people eked out an existence a lot of times. And they lived because someone who had food that grew in the dry season would allow them to pick a hand of bananas or something. They would boil it, like much like we do potatoes in their green state. I still like potatoes, amen, but that's what they did. But we've seen that. And when I walked into the kitchen, my wife was, they swapped recipes, and that was a blessing for my wife, and it was a blessing for our church folks there. And the first time they walked into my wife's kitchen, the kitchen had makeshift glass doors at least, and the first lady in said, "Look at all the dishes." We had an 8-piece setting like most people did. And said, "They all match." And you go to their house and you go to their stores there then, and you could buy one place setting, a plate, a saucer, and a bowl. And you'd get to use the bowl tonight, and I got the plate. We'd switch tomorrow night. That's the way they did it. And many times I've had folks give me something on a banana leaf. There was no plates. But yet God's been so good to us. Here in America. And he said that's the motto. When we lived in Grenada, the average Grenadian would say, "Preacher, I hope one day to save enough money to fly over to America and see the dream." I'm saying we've been blessed here in America tonight. Then if we look in verses 31 through 35, it's a place of gladness. God rejoices over creation in verse 31. And we should be glad in the Lord. I'm glad tonight. I've been, I don't know, just in a way for a little while. I'm thankful for God's goodness in my life. Amen. I'm thankful I grew up in North Carolina. I'm thankful I grew up the way I grew up. Amen. I learned because of growing up. Like I said, I didn't know I was poor till I was 14 and a farmer told me. But I learned how to work. I learned how to do what I've used all of my life in the ministry God's put us into. We were joking, I think, last night with some of them about raising rabbits, and they said they're pets. I said, "Yeah, my kids pet them up to the day we killed them." Amen. I said, "As long as we understand that the purpose of that rabbit is food, and we done that with our cows." I know people say, "I can't eat a cow if I raise it." Well, I'll eat it for you. Amen. Grind that bad boy up in hamburger. We'll eat it. We'll take care of it. And if you can't do that, we'll grind it for you. Got a commercial grinder at the house. Amen. But I'm saying God's been good to us. But so many times we lose sight of the goodness of God. We lose sight of the fact that God has been gracious to America. And we're praying this election year, "Lord, have mercy. Lord, give grace." And we're praying, "Lord, don't give us what we deserve because of our actions, because of our attitudes. Lord, give us mercy one more time." But I want to focus in, if I can tonight, on just another phrase here in verse 16. In this psalm, as he's talking about everything about the Lord, I was looking a little while this afternoon and this morning on the cedars of Lebanon. In verse 16 again, he said, "The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he hath planted." And I look at those cedars. I've never got the privilege, at least at this point, to go. I hope one day maybe to go to Israel and be able to see what my pastor saw last year as he went. And I can still remember him and his excitement when I'd carry him to a doctor visit or to have a test done. And man, he'd have to tell me about something that trip, how he'd opened the Bible and come alive to him even more. And what a blessing that would be. But I looked at those cedars of Lebanon, and I found out several things. That cedar tree, the Bible describes it as a strong and durable tree in Isaiah chapter 9. It's described as graceful and beautiful in Psalms chapter 80 and verse 10 and Ezekiel 17 and verse 23. It's described as high and tall. Some they say can get 80 feet, 130, maybe 130 feet. I read so much today, I can't remember it all. I can't keep it all in my mind. Amos chapter 2, verse 9 tells us that. It's fragrance. And all of you, boy, we like them cedar. We've got a cedar chest, amen, I built for my daughter and some others. I've got about 2,000 foot of cedar there still at the house. Just haven't had time. I love planing cedar wood. And that smell, that aroma that it's known for. Amen. It's known for a tree that spreads wide, and we've got places up home where they've been used as boundaries, because if you grow them from young trees up, you're going to have to be tough to get through them if they plant them close enough. I mean, they spread out. There's a place, matter of fact, 3 years ago, I think they sold the property, and the new owner come in and cut all the cedars up about 4 feet high. I said, they ruined them. Now you can see the house, everything back in there. I didn't know this house is back there, because that boundary, that's spreading out. And the eagle also makes her nest there. What I'm trying to tell you tonight, and what I would like to do for a few moments tonight, is let that cedar represent you and I. I was looking at some of those things when the man come to work on the heat pump, and I got some of them and didn't get some of them, etc. But it's talking about how it could represent the Christian spiritually. And this, the verse here again, I'll give you three simple thoughts and we'll get into our thought tonight. By way of introduction, I see here the Bible said the trees of the Lord. That speaks to me of his possession. Can I say to you tonight, I'm his and he is mine. Amen. The trees of the Lord. If you're saved tonight, can we say that you and I are the Lord's? He has paid for us. He has the purchase price. And then it goes on to say they're full of sap. That's his plan. You look at those cedars, and I watched a few videos this afternoon, and man, those cedars are sitting way up on the side of the hill, and they're not down a lot of times by the creeks, but they're beautiful. They have everything they need because God has provided and prepared for them. Amen. And that sap would represent to you and I the Spirit of God working in our lives in these days. He said, the trees of the Lord, that's his possession, are full of sap. That's his plan. And the Bible tells us in that last phrase, if you look at it with me, he said, which the Lord, or which he hath planted, that is, can I say to you, he is planting. We're right where we need to be. God puts us right where he wants us. Some talked as we were coming in, Pastor was introducing me to some and talking about how you came here, and several said, you know, God put us where he wanted us. Isn't that exactly what he does? We're his planting. We had a tree in Grenada called a glory cedar tree. That's what they call it. It didn't look like our cedars. It grew along the ocean side, and we would go over to Bathway, and you'd cut limbs about big around as your arm. They'd be straight all in this tree, and we would take those trees and cut them. And our little quarter-acre lot was fenced, and if a fence post would die, we'd go cut some glory cedar limbs about big around his arm and about 8 or 10 feet long, dig a hole, plant them in the ground, and we would water them, and they would have the uncanny ability to take root and had a live fence line that's still there. And I thought about what God does with the church. As the church grows like this one is, time to time, he will break off, as it were, a limb or a family and plant them somewhere, and they've got a choice to take root and grow or to dry up and die. Amen. And by the way, those that did not grow after a period of time, that never took root and produced fruit, produced limbs and growth, we dug them up and put someone else there. And I've seen God do the same thing. You see, that's why we need revival. I know you've got a lot going on. I've saw the bulletin and everything that's happening. And man, this is just the kind of the beginning. I preached a revival 2 weeks ago in Kings Mountain. He said, preacher, you're just kicking off what we're fixing to get started doing. trying to get ourselves in such a way where we can be effective for the Lord and the things of God. And realize you're a tree God's planted. You're His possession. Amen. That matter of fact, that phrase full of sap, if you look that up, the plan there, the idea there is to be saturated, to be satisfied, to be strengthened by that sap that's in that tree. And I'll talk about that in a minute. Can I speak to you for a little while tonight, about 20, 25 minutes, on the trees of the Lord? The trees of the Lord. Man, that scent of the sap is sweet. The touch of the sap is tacky. Hey, man, you can do a lot of things, but my dad cut pulpwood when I was a kid, and we helped him till the truant officer came and got us. Said we couldn't miss that many days. I was in the second grade and helped load pulpwood logs. But you got that stuff on your hands, you had to wear it off. You couldn't hardly get it off. And you get it on you, and brother, you touch somebody else, and they say, man, that feels funny. And I thought, wouldn't it be a blessing if you and I would have so much of the Spirit of God oozing out of us that we get against somebody at work and they say, man, I can't get that off. It's stuck on me. It's going to stay with me a while. I've got to wear it off. That's a blessing. Amen. It's tacky. It sticks to us. It oozes out of it. It can't help it. I like getting around folk that get to can't help it. Amen. I mean, they just so full of God, it's going to come out. Hey, man, toward the end of our jubilee there in Grenada, it was about to get right and a few folks about to get happy. Amen. I'm okay with that. Hey, man, you can be quiet. I'm okay with that. I don't have to be anything. I'm going to shout, cry, and everything else all in one service. Amen. As God directs. And I'm okay with that. But, man, they saw me get happy and get excited. You see tears start to run. You see it start to ooze out of them. And then they stand up and say, I just want to thank God for saving me. I want to thank God where He brought me from, friend, and begin to make a difference in my life. We had some kids that got saved back in the 90s that are still serving God today that would be what was considered in the slums of Grenada. They were in a village I was told not even go into. But I said, man, I already been up there. Y'all told me too late, so I just kept going. And there's girls and boys from that village that are scattered around Grenada serving God today. And they'll tell you what God's done for them. And it'll begin to ooze out of them. I'll give you three simple thoughts this evening if I can. With this thought in mind about the trees of the Lord. And we've been talking this week about revival yesterday and tonight. And how full are you? Amen. We see, first of all, that sap heals the scars. I had a logger get me a limb. Amen. Matter of fact, he was 6'8". I said, now remember, I've got to be able to carry it when I asked him to find me one. But I told him what I was looking for, and you're talking about the storms, and there'll probably be some in this area of storm down the way where that tree was wounded or bruised or it was hurt during that storm, and it's been broke over. This one's like that. You see that knot right there in the middle? This tree had been wounded, scarred, if you will, somewhere in its life. And I told him what I was looking for. Brother Bob said, when you find one, bring it. Now, he brung it, and I had to trim it up small enough I could use it. Man, I couldn't get it in the car when he brung it to me. And I said, how'd you get it? He said, I just pulled it up. But you notice it didn't break. I'm getting ahead of myself. It didn't break where it had been wounded. Because those scars, they remind us of the sores that's been healed. You know, we've been hearing a lot lately about church hurt. And I'm not making light of church hurt. It just amazes me that we never hear about Walmart hurt. We don't hear about bank hurt. We don't hear about the steakhouse hurt, you know. We get hurt there, but we're going back to get us another one, and I'm going with you. Every preacher I know has been hurt probably more than most church folk. But they keep coming. Amen. They've been wounded. This limb had a wound in its life. That scar reminds us that the sap healed that wounded place in its life. Many things can, as I was looking, this has been years ago, at what would cause that. They said oftentimes what would cause an evergreen tree the most trouble is a woodpecker. And I was looking on one of them, I think it's a horticulture site if I get it right, and it's one of them folks that knows plants. And somebody wrote in, and I'm sitting there one night just reading, thinking about these cedars of Lebanon, and this person wrote in and said, I've got a whole row of cedar trees, but man, these woodpeckers just keep troubling me, and I want to know, are the trees going to die? What do I do to fix the trees? And this real smart fella with a doctor's degree said, if you can just get the woodpeckers away, that tree will heal itself. What's that got to do with me, preacher? Sometimes in our Christian life, there's some folk we just need to get away from us. And God will heal that hurt. We've all been hurt, every one of us. And I'm not making light of the hurt. It just bothers me that we get church hurt and leave. We get bank hurt and go back. Or we get grocery store hurt and go back. Or Walmart. You know, I've had guys tell me when I was at the prison with Chap, I ain't coming up into chapel. I said, there's too much hypocrites up in there. He was chewing on a biscuit and just come out of the dining hall. I said, well, that's an amazing thing. You eat in the dining hall with them. He looked at me, well, Chap, you got to eat. I said, you need to live for God too. Amen. Yeah. He said, Chap, you got me. He never did come back to church, but I didn't let him get by with that. Not him chewing on a biscuit. That was somebody else's. He went and ate that same hypocrites that went to church. Hey, listen, I'm talking about those scars. Or that sap heals those sores or those scarred places. And I thought about that when he said, if you can just get that away. Many of you and I have been wounded as a construction worker. I was sitting there at my desk this afternoon thinking about a lot of people, this scar here come in 1989. T-boned a T-bird in Easley, South Carolina, and wasn't wearing a seatbelt. My head busted the windshield, took 17 stitches. The lawyer said, what's the last thing you remember? I said, the windshield, man, the windshield. He said, I don't think there was no Dane Bramage, but... he said, man, you got no sense. I said, I didn't have none when he hit me. I ain't going to be honest. I'm going to be honest with you. For the wreck, I didn't have no sense. But you know what I found out? I cut this finger in construction. I don't know, back. I quit construction in 2006 as far as for a living. And I had cut it setting a granite bar top. That's what I did. I installed kitchen cabinets in in-plant modular homes. And I was trying to cut a shim to go under. And that knife slipped and cut through there. And, man, that thing hurt. I started down through the plant there where we were at, and I heard somebody on the radio told my boss, said, meet one of your boys at the cage. He's bleeding like a stuck hog. And I'd cut an artery or something into that finger, and we got it all taped up, and I'm ready to go back to work. And he said, oh, no, you're going. He said, you follow me. We're going to the doctor, have some stitches. And, man, they took me down there and stitched me up that next morning. Man, that thing hurt. But all you construction guys, if you like me, I had some future glue in my drawer back there in my tool kit. And man, I'd bump that thing and it'd draw back and I'd hurt. But I'd take that future glue and paint it. And it would help take care of that wound while it healed. See, that's what the Spirit of God does for us when we get hurt, when we get wounded. If we'll let God do a work, He'll wrap you around where you can heal. You can continue to function. I mean, I still had a job to do. I wasn't going to sit around, man. I ain't built that way. But you know, I begin to realize that's what the Spirit of God's for. That's why we need to be full of sap, because when we get wounded, and we will, it will happen. That Spirit of God can wrap around us so tight. He can love us all up so we can go through that wounded place. We can go through that, and we'll look back later, and we'll see that scar, this scar, and I had a cow drag me through a fence on there, and a tar got me, a bus tire when I was in high school got me there, and you've got that. We think about these scars. You know what those scars tell me? I've been healed. Those scars are proof of healing. Isn't that a blessing? Oh, yeah, they're there and they're reminders, and I think about them. But when I look at them, I've been, that a blessing? I hurt, boy, that was sore. I think about that place and how it stuck way out for a while, and then I had hair to cover it. Didn't matter, amen. But now I look at that and I say, well, God took care of me in 1989. God kept me around here. Man, matter of fact, we were staying with a guy. His name was Joe, and when I got out of the car, and I looked at my little escort, and I said, that's my only car. The lady says, you need to sit down. Thought I'd done had some Dane Bramage, sure enough. And I sat down and we called, and her husband's name was Joe too. The only number we had then, there wasn't no cell phones. They went and called a number and they said, which Joe? And they both come to the hospital and tried to figure out what was going on. And I told Mom, I said, God ain't done yet. I said, I ain't got no fear. I said, God's okay, it's okay. But boy, I sure did need that spirit. I need something to help heal those wounds. And we get wounded sometimes in our Christian life. Boy, we've got to allow the Spirit of God to do its job. That's what it does. It wraps us up so we can continue to function even though we're wounded while we heal. and we can serve Jesus. We can work for the Lord. That tree, every time I look at that limb, it reminds me because of that spot there. It's been, I don't know what kind of storm it was through. I don't know what kind of problem it was, but that it reminds me it's been healed. There was a scar there. There is a scar there. But that tree has been healed. I know a lot of Christians that have been through some pretty tough stuff. I mean, tougher stuff than I've ever been through, I'll be honest with you, I think. But God's healed them. And they stand today as pictures of grace in the house of God because they've allowed God to work in their lives. Don't become bitter when you get wounded. Let the Spirit of God wrap its love around you. Let the Spirit of the sap of God, the Spirit of God work in your life so you can keep on smiling in difficult days. Secondly, tonight, not only will you find that the sap heals those sore places and those scars are reminding you and I that we've had a healing, but secondly tonight, can I say to you that the sap holds the strength. I know we got construction workers in here, Brother Jerry and some others, and man, when I worked and I cut pieces, I built light soffits or kitchen soffits and that type of thing in my job, and man, we'd go get a whole stack of lumber, and if you find one that's got sap all over it and you cut it, man, it's all over the blade, it's all over your fingers, but you can use that piece of wood. But you get one that don't have no sap and you just see that place, and you better be careful how you put that thing through the chop saw, because there'll be splinters in your cheeks, they'll be up in your eyebrow, they'll be everywhere. See, that sap holds that tree together. We had a big storm, you know, up in 89 or whatever it was, and it laid down all those cedar trees not too far from my house. And somebody asked the guy asked somebody, said, what do I do with them? I cut them down. He said, no, just leave them alone. He said, and you just give them a few days. The sun turned out, and that top began to pop back toward the sun. And eventually began to straighten that tree out. He said, but here's what you got to remember. When you cut that tree, remember that tree's been wounded. And sometimes even in a sawmill, I talked to some sawmill guys, sawmill men, and they said, you've got to be careful, especially if you know a tree's been wounded, because sometimes that thing will turn into bandsaw in the sawmill and twist when it's released if there's no sap there. If it's full of sap, he said, you can cut it. It'll make a mess, but you can cut it. Well, you know what we would do if we had one that had sap all over it? We'd put that thing in the wall. We'd still use it. You understand what I'm saying? If you let God keep you full and help you heal through that wound, you can still be used. But if you dry up, you cut God off, you cut the church off, you know, I've got church hurt and I leave and I don't go back, and you wind up brittle and broken and you can't be used. Now, we wouldn't necessarily put that tree in a load-bearing wall, but we would put it in the wall. We might put it by someone for some help. And sometimes because of your wounded places, you can be of great help to people if you'll let God heal you. But without sap, you become bruised and broken and brittle. You can't be used. I'm saying tonight, the trees of the Lord are full of sap. That's His desire. That's His plan. Because without that sap, without it filling those cracks, we'll never amount to much for the Lord. I've seen some folk like that, I'm afraid, in our ministry, in our life, where they've gotten hurt and just couldn't get over it. Somehow just couldn't get over it. And I'm not making light of them. I'm not making fun of them. But I'm just saying, sometimes you just need to give it to God. Let God take care of it. God can change your direction. You know, I read that article. You've read it before. Prayer doesn't always change God. Sometimes prayer changes me. Amen. I mean, there's times I believe God's been right on time and God's helped me. But then there's times I prayed and God showed me what I was praying for wasn't really what I needed. Never forget here, an older lady, been married to a preacher 40, 50 years, and my wife and I heard her give this testimony. She said, I'm glad God didn't answer all my prayers. She said, I'd have married the wrong fella 3 times. Saw that guy, thought he was the one. And they had been married 55, 60 years, her and her she had a husband's a preacher, dear man of God. But she said, sometimes we pray things and we think we've got it all figured out, but God knows better. Sometimes we get hurt and we don't understand. Lord, why me? Well, why not you? And again, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying, why not you? Why are we any different than somebody else? It could be that you go through that hurt because God says, I believe she can handle it. I believe He can handle it. That's what He did in Job. Have you considered my servant Job? Can you imagine going through all that and getting to heaven and say, Lord, what happened here? Well, I let the devil. Me and the devil said, I brought your name up when the devil was trying to say there wasn't nobody serving me. I don't know. He went through a lot, didn't he? But he said in all of that, he didn't blame God. He didn't trust. He cursed the day of his birth, but he never did turn his back on God. I'm saying, listen, if we're wounded and we get wounded, we have wounds. We've all got them. I mean, I've got some physical ones I can show you and you, me, and some nobody will ever see, amen. But we've got some spiritual wounds that are the same way. And they're just as real. They're just as sure. They're just as true. And if we're going to get help this week, we're going to move on and be strong and build a greater work here in this area and out in these other places that the leadership are leading. We're going to have some strong trees. They're going to have to be full of sap. Some say, well, I don't cry. And some, well, I can't help but cry. It's okay. If you don't cry, that's all right. Just don't get mad at me if I do. I can't help it sometimes. I feel like that's God. He gave us that pop-off valve. If I didn't do it, I feel like I'd blow up. And so God just fixed that. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying we're all different. We handle things different. But if we let the Spirit of God work in our heart and work in our life, we may go down the road. That old prodigal boy we talked about yesterday, yeah, I guarantee there's some marks on his flesh maybe that next day or that next week that reminded him he had been to the pig pen. But you know where he's at? He's sitting at his father's house eating the fatted calf, wearing the best robe with a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. Why? Because he came home. He came back where he belonged. Hey, may I give you one more thought? Talking about the trees of the Lord tonight. That sap heals those sore places. We need to be still. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God. As I said, Dr. Seitler and Dr. Clark, our dean of the Bible college when I was in Tabernacle back in the 80s, he'd say, he taught on this one time, and he said, boys, he said, the reason you need to be filled daily is because your vessel leaks. And it gets away. You can be filled today and get up in the morning and something go wrong or something happen and somebody's done leaked out again. You've got to be filled back up. It's like the lady at the restaurant yesterday. She kept coming back and I fill it up again. I'm like, yeah, I always like fill it up, man. Yeah, I think we had a quart cup of water to start with, but I like a lot of water. But she kept coming by. You need something more? You need some more? The Spirit of God's coming by tonight saying you need some more. Need some more oil. Need some more sap. Need to handle another problem. You're going to face another difficulty. And we are. I don't know what the next one is. And we all pray they don't happen, but they're going to come. This last week, we've had several opportunities right there at the house working in the kitchen. But I told Mama, God's going to get it all fixed up where if I get it, I can't do it. I won't have to mess with it. Amen. It's going to be good. All right, sit down and quit. Say, man, I tell you, every time we turn around, something happens. I've heard people say that. I have been that person, okay? I'm not perfect for sure. I didn't try to tell you all that. Well, listen, what about that last thought as I close tonight? That sap helps the substance of the tree. Without that sap, you know, it's that time of year. I love this time of year. I've got a couple apple trees blooming and Martin Barr, Wednesday, Lord willing, we're going to start planting, try to get a lot of our stuff planted. Dad said I talked to him coming down the road today. Didn't get to see him when I was home. And I called him, told him to find out what we was going to do tomorrow. And he said, well, he said, you got tomatoes blooming. We fixed to plant them. They already about that tall. They done been graving, been a coming. He got them in 1 gallon pots. He said, I done took the hole diggers and dug your holes. This is my 80-year-old dad. He said, we'll try to get them in the ground tomorrow. Hey, man, he said, they'll be blooming when you put them in. Hallelujah. He done dug the hole deep and big enough where we're going to turn that gallon pot over and dump all that soil out and put it every bit right in that hole. I'm saying if you want to do something for God, when I was a boy, Dad had 350 rabbits. And you get a lot of organic fertilizer from 350 rabbits, amen. We cleaned it up with a shovel and a wheelbarrow. That's what we had back in there. There wasn't no tractors at the house. And we put it in a patch about the size of this side of the auditorium. And Dad said, we're going to plant that to flat Dutch cabbage. And, man, we set that stuff right in there. I mean, with rabbit manure, it's high in nitrogen. You can plant right in it. It ain't going to burn it up like other organic fertilized wheel. And, man, we planted that patch, and that thing grew cabbage, flat Dutch cabbage. Dad tell guys he worked with, they said, I'm going to come see that. And he'd come home, and Dad would be standing a little taller. wanting to see his cabbage. He said, go get me that big ear, boy, that big head of cabbage. And I went around the house and brung back a head of flat Dutch cabbage. When he trimmed the leaves off of it, it wouldn't go. It sat on top of a 5-gallon bucket. Dad's standing pretty tall. That old fellow said, man, you are right. That is some good. I wonder if y'all got some, I won't say flat Dutch cabbage, but some plants growing right here. Fort Mill, South Carolina. Right here at Bible Baptist Church. Maybe the Lord would say of you like he did of Job. Look down here. I got something growing down here. It's doing good. Because it's let the Spirit of God work in its life, you see. That Spirit helps the substance of the tree, the fruit of the tree. Talking about the sap's coming up, you know, the flowers are blooming and the fig trees are coming along and all those. You know why? Because that's what it tells you, the sap is coming up. Boy, I pray this week, God, let the sap flow in the lives of God's people, that it would spring up, as the man of God said in the Old Testament, spring up, O well, in my soul, and let God do a great work. Are you full of sap today? Maybe you've been wounded. I got good news for you. I know where the help's at, because he helped me. Maybe you're hurting tonight and say, preacher, it's been hard lately. Okay, I don't doubt that, because I believe the closer we get to heaven, the closer, the more encounters we're going to have with the devil trying to discourage us. Amen. And we're going to need some help. What I'm trying to tell you, I don't have all the answers, but I know where the help's at. It's in that book, amen. It's in the Word of God. God will help us if we'll just let him do it. If we'll give up to ourselves and we'll give over to him. After I cut that finger and the folks knew, I had a girl I'd been witnessing to, man, she had the most vile mouth of anybody on my crew. Young lady, about 25 years old. Come in the next day, and she was in there with me when I cut my hand, or right after. And I asked about her, and they said, well, she came up and said, did he cuss? So I went back, I said, girl, you didn't even ask, but I was okay. You just want to know to cuss. She said, well, I would. I said, I know you would, but by the grace of God, I didn't, amen. But I got to witness to her because of the wound. And then as I put that future glue on and I'd go on to work and go about my business, I'd say, how can you do that? I'd show them. And maybe when you get wounded, been through some tough things in your life and God's helped you, somebody come along and said, how can you do that? You said, let me show you how. It's right there in the Word of God. Hey, man, just let God fill you. Let him overflow. Let it ooze out of you. And others, get on others, and they got to carry it home with them. He said, the trees of the Lord are full of sap. Hey, man, they're his planting. They're his possession. His plans would stay full. But sometimes we leak. Sometimes the wound comes, and we need some help. Let me ask you tonight, how is it with you? Are you where you need to be with the Lord? Lord willing, we've got, the preacher said, one more night. I'm looking forward to it. Pray. I don't know where we'll be or what will happen. We'll do something as God directs. I want to be a help if God will help me this week. And I realize if God don't help us, folks, I can't help y'all because I don't have the answer, but he does. If you've been wounded, there's help for you. God doesn't throw away his wounded. Hey, man, God loves his children. And that's evidenced by the men I've dealt with year after year after year in the prison. We had a dinner with some of them that have gotten out and been out for several years. Some been out 20, one been out 24 years, I think. He's now going back into what used to be Northside, Livesey B Yard. He goes back once or twice a month and preaches in the place where he got saved at. And they would say, Brother Joe, you don't know what it's like, man. He'll go describe an F dorm. That's what he calls it. In a little corner back there where he bunked for a couple of years. He said, have you changed this or changed that? And they said, you've been here. He said, yeah, that's where I was when God found me. And can make a difference because of the wounds. See, wounds don't have to be, we don't want them, but wounds don't have to be a bad thing. They can be something God's preparing to use you. When I was in Greenville, South Carolina, when I was in Bible college, we went to the Coney County Detention Center in Walhalla, South Carolina. We went in one day and a guy walks up and said, man, he said, I've got a $100 a day meth habit, man. You don't know what it's like. And a little old fella about yay hard, just a little slim fella about Jacob's size, maybe not quite as big as he is. And He said, preacher, let me take this one. And he pulled a picture out of his pocket, preacher, and he said, that's Brother Larry Tiffany, sorry, that's with the drugs. He said, I used to have a $100 a day heroin habit. When God found me, that's what I had. He said, but God changed my life. I'll never forget that guy, there's four of us there. That guy said, I want to talk to you. And so we know who was going back in that cell block that morning, because there was a man there that didn't want nothing to do with me, but he wanted to hear what Larry Tippett had to say. We went another time, and Brother Randy Smith was there, and this guy rode with some motorcycle gang, and man, he looked the part, and he was giving us a fit. I mean, just talking real motorcycle-y, okay? And it wasn't real polite. And here, little Randy, this little slim fella. And I mean, I met him in college, preacher. I didn't know him before. He said, let me take this one, preacher. And again, I said, man, where y'all get these pictures? He had a picture when he rode with Hell's Angels motorcycle gang. He said, that's where I was when God found me. And again, that fellow said, I want to talk to you. So sometimes your wounds may open opportunities for you once you've been healed. Amen. Once you've gotten beyond that hurt, you've gotten beyond that wound, and you can say, look, here's how I did it. It's what both those men did, and got to talk to both those boys. I can be honest today, I can't remember the outcome, but they wasn't going to have nothing to hear from me. But they're definitely going to listen to them. Father, I love you today. Thank you, Lord, for your people. Thank you for church. God, I pray you'd help us. Lord, I pray if there's one here tonight that's maybe wounded, maybe they've tried to refuse, not let you help them. Lord, would they just draw nigh to you tonight? Lord, and let you just ooze off all of them. Lord, fill them and help them through this difficult day. Lord, we look back at these scars as I sit there thinking today about different times in my life where I was wounded. You help me. Help your people tonight, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.